Mark chapter number 15 this morning, all right? Mark chapter number 15. That's the second gospel in your New Testament. Matthew, Mark. Wonderful, wonderful book. The book of Mark. And we're going to look at a passage of scripture this morning as we think about our theme for this conference this year, to be like Jesus. We're going to be looking at this particular passage of scripture, and we're going to make a few applications today that I trust the Lord will use in each one of your hearts, especially you young people that are here, you moms and dads, you that know the Lord, love the Lord, and perhaps there are some here today that's never found Christ as Savior yet. And you know, the scripture says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come. All should come to repentance. For God so loved the world. Think about that. The Creator God, the God who created this marvelous, marvelous universe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift. And you know, it took me 20 years. 20 years to receive that gift. But the day I received it, August the 17th, 1952, God changed my life. Old things passed away. Behold, all things became new. And my, what a joyful, 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 joyful journey it has been to see what God has been pleased to do. There's nothing like knowing Jesus Christ as Savior. Believe me when I say that. Now, before I found Him, or maybe I should say before He found me, because I wasn't looking for Him. The reason I went to church was because I had a sister that got saved. And she started inviting me to come to church with her. And I wasn't interested in going to church. And I finally told her, because she was waking me up every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock to go to Sunday school with her. And I thought, good night, I don't even know the sun is up on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Let me sleep. And I finally told her, I said, listen, sis, if you let me sleep Sunday morning, I'll go to church with you one Sunday night. So she said, okay. So she let me sleep. Well, what was one more lie? Didn't matter. So about 5 or 6 weeks went by, and I didn't go to church. She went to church. We're sitting at the supper table, and we're eating supper. I'm the oldest of 6 kids. And my sister says to Dad, she says, Daddy, when somebody makes you a promise, aren't they supposed to do it? And he said, well, of course, he said, Lydia. She said, well, your oldest son made me a promise. And he hasn't kept it. And he said, well, what's that? Well, he told me that he would go to church with me one night. And he hasn't done it. And my dad looked over at me and he said, is that right, son? I said, well, I haven't got there yet. And he said, well, you'll take care of that this Sunday. Well, remember, he didn't believe in second chances. So I went to church. A little Baptist church in Miami, Florida. 8400 Bird Road, the Bird Road Baptist Church. And I walked into church that night, and about 125, 150 people there maybe. And the preacher preached, and I thought, my heavens, my sister has told him I'm here, and he's forgotten about the other 149, and he's just zeroing on me. And so he said amen at the end of the service, and I said goodbye. I was the first one out the door that night, and I was gone. But you know, when the Word of God is preached, and the Spirit of God takes the Word and applies it to the heart, can't get away from God. You can run, you can hide, but you can't get away from God. And over a period then of weeks, as I'm running from God, God was right behind me. I went left, he went left. I went right, he went right. I ran faster, I turned around, and there he was. I couldn't run any faster. And so that Sunday night, August 17, 1952, the preacher preached, and the invitation, 164 in the Broadman Hymnal, "Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go." And the preacher you're listening to this morning stepped out, walked down the aisle, and became a new preacher in Christ. In simple childlike faith, what I knew about the Bible, young folks, what I knew about the Word of God, you could put in a thimble and have room left over. But I knew I was a sinner. I knew I couldn't save myself. And I knew that God loved me. And he sent Jesus to shed his blood on a cross to cover my sins. And in simple childlike faith, I just reached out and I said, "Thank you, Lord. And I want you to come into my heart and into my life. And I want you to be my Savior." And you know what he did? He came in. And he's never left me. Isn't that wonderful? Only the child of God has that testimony. Only the child of God. So we're going to look a little bit here at Mark chapter 15 this morning. And I want you to look with me at verse number 6. Because this is the story of Jesus when he is being tried by the religious leaders of the Jews back many, many hundreds of years ago. Because verse 6 says, "But now at the feast, he released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired." Now you remember, this is Jesus before Pilate. And Pilate, of course, he is a politician. And so we read on in verse number 7, "And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. But Pilate answered them, saying, Will ye have I release unto you the King of the Jews, Jesus? For he knew that he and the chief priests had delivered him for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said in verse number 12, again unto them, What will ye then that I shall do unto him who ye call King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, Why? What evil have he done? And they cried out the more, Exceedingly, crucify him. Crucifixion, incidentally, was a horrible, horrible means of death. Excruciating pain. Because the way the Romans did that, they put him on a cross. A cross was basically a big piece of wood this way and the arm going this way. And they would lay that cross on the ground, and then they would take the prisoner and they would put him on that cross with his arms over the cross. And then those Roman soldiers would drive spikes through the hands and pin the hands to that arm. And then they would always cross their legs like this. And through the leg, there is an area where you can actually drive a spike and not hit a bone. And they would drive that spike through and pin those bones or those two legs that were crossed to that cross. There was a little piece of wood that they had where when they would lift the cross up and drop that cross in the ground to where when that cross would hit the bottom, the whole body would just jar. And that little piece of wood then would hold the body as the nails and the hands were nailed to that arm and the feet was nailed to that main piece in the ground. It made it very difficult for an individual to breathe because there was always pressure on the diaphragm. And they would leave that individual on that cross until they no longer were living. And Pilate says, he says, what will you have? What will you have me then that I should do unto him whom ye call King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him. And then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him. Then verse number 15 says, so Pilate, willing to content the people. Remember I said he was what? A politician. He wasn't interested in doing right or doing wrong. He was interested in pleasing the people because he was a politician. That's why I've said across America in the last 10 years, you take most politicians, put them in the bag and shake them up. It doesn't make any difference which one comes out first. Because America doesn't need any more politicians. America needs a Savior. America needs Jesus. Like the America used to know Jesus, that I used to know when I was a young lad. That's the greatest need in our country today. That we would find Jesus Christ once again becoming a part of our culture. The Christian Judeo-ethic culture that this country was founded upon. The culture that I knew as a lad growing up in this country. Where we read the Bible in the public schools that I went to and we prayed in the public schools I went to. That's the country that I knew. And that's probably the country some of you here today knew when you were lads and young ladies at that time. But we read in verse number 15, so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. What will you do with Jesus? That's a question every one of us will answer. One day, for sure. What will you do? God asked me that question August 17, 1952, in a little Baptist church in Miami, Florida. What will you do with Jesus? What are you going to do with him? And I want to ask you the question this morning, what will you do with Jesus? Because you will make a decision. You're either going to accept him or you're going to reject him. Because as the song says, neutral you cannot be. Someday, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? A sobering question when you stop and think about it. Let's pray. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. And I pray, Father, in the next few moments as we think about this wonderful story that God challenges our thinking. Allow the Spirit of God this morning, I pray, to ask this question to each individual under the sound of my voice. And God help them to see they will answer one way or another. And we'll give you the praise, we'll give you the honor and the glory for what you will be pleased to do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're living in a day and we're living in an age where great, great, great throngs of church members are failing to see what the theme that God has laid on Pastor Jerry's heart for this conference is all about. To be like Jesus. when Jesus was being tried before the religious leaders, one of the apostles, his name was Peter. Peter had previously made the statement that, Lord, you can count on me. I'm ready to die with you and for you. But Jesus has now been arrested, and he's before Pilate. And Peter has gathered where all the crowd had gathered as Jesus is being tried. And he's warming his hands there at a fire. And many of you that would know your Bible, you know the story. He denies the Lord, and the cock crows, as Jesus had again predicted. And as I think of that story that we have in our scripture, I think of the church today, where thongs and thongs and thongs, thousands of people who name the name of Jesus, they're doing exactly what Peter did. They're doing exactly the same exact thing, because what they're doing, they're gathering around the fire of worldliness, the fire of compromise, the fire of weak convictions. The fire of no compassion. And they are allowing, as the young people learned this morning in the Sunday school hour here, they're allowing the devil, who is going about as a roaring lion, they're allowing that devil to gain victory after victory after victory in their lives, in their churches, in their community, and in their country. It's amazing. Do you know the United States of America, when you read your Constitution, recognizes that the Creator God is the one who created this country? Do you realize that? The founding fathers of this nation recognized that the God who created this universe was the God who led those who came to this country to found a country that would have religious freedom. They believed that that God was the one who was responsible for allowing them to travel a body of water of thousands of miles to come to a country where they could establish a country that would allow them to worship the God that they knew and they loved, that they read in their Bibles. And yet today, in this nation, we have had 9 black robes on the Supreme Court say that there is no longer that freedom for anybody who is in a public school to pray to that God or to read the Bible that tells them about that God. Yet, when I opened Congress in 1993, the House of Representatives in our nation's capital, when I was invited there to pray and to open that session of Congress, in that room where those 435 congressmen and congresswomen were seated, all around that building was evidence of the God of the Bible. And yet, we don't have it. Why? Because we have forgotten about Jesus. People, if ever this country, if ever this church, if ever the churches in the United States of America who understand what this Bible is all about, if ever they were to rise up and to speak out for the Lord Jesus, it is today. It's today. Because What will you do with them? You will, you will. You will face that question. It is a question of derision. There is no getting away from it. When Jesus here is taken before Pilate and entered and interrogated before Pilate, he asks him a question. Art thou a king? Are you, as a matter of fact, he calls him here, the king of the Jews. So we will give an answer. And notice the Savior, he doesn't answer him. He speaks not a word. And you know, that's interesting because, Pastor Jerry, when I think about that, when I think about somebody asking me a question, and in that type of circumstance, I'm almost positive I would have at least responded somehow. But not the Savior. He absolutely stays totally, completely quiet. Why? Very simple. He knew who he was. He knew that he had come from God. He knew that he was the Son of God. But yet in my mind, as I thought about that, I imagined how Jesus must have felt when man, you know, derives his name in the world in which you and I are living today with profanity and with all of that which goes on in our world today. I'm just amazed that somehow God has not already judged our country. I'm amazed at that. But yet, the question of derision is there. When you study your Bible, when you look at what your Bible says, when you recognize the Word of God says, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, and you look at what mankind is doing today in our nation, why, my land sakes alive, a blind man can see. Where America has gone in relationship to the Son of God. But yet, you will decide, just as those here in this chapter had to decide what they would do. They had to decide either it was going to be Barabbas or whether it was going to be Jesus, and they chose to reject the Son of God and chose Barabbas. A question of derision. Which means it was also then a question of decision. Because each year at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, see, the tradition was they released the prisoner, and that's why Pilate was asking whether or not that Barabbas would be released or whether maybe Jesus should be released. Now, Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. He knew what they had accused him of was nothing but hocus pocus. But he was a politician. And because the people who did not want to know Jesus, the people who were opposed to Jesus, because that's what they wanted, and because they were the leadership, he yields to that leadership and says, okay, I will release Barabbas to you to fulfill that tradition that is there. But they forgot, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday, your heart will be asking, what will he do with me? You can't escape it. It's impossible to escape it. It's impossible to get away from it. Because it is a question of what we call disposition. It is a question that we must be responsible for. Barabbas, true, Barabbas is free. But what does Pilate do with Jesus? There has to be a completion here of what is taking place. Just like from this message this morning, there will be decisions made in each one of our hearts and each one of our lives as to what will we do with Jesus. we can't get away from it. Now I know what Pilate did. I know what he did. Pilate took the middle of the road. What does he do? He calls for and this is really sad when you get right down to it. Because rather than going either to the left or rather going to the right, he tries to go down the middle of the road. He's going to take the what he considers the easy way. And you can't go that way when it comes to the Son of God. You can't go that way when it comes to this to be like Jesus. Are we in this country going to be like Jesus, or we're not going to be like Jesus? Well, are you in Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Are you going to be like Jesus, or are you not going to be like Jesus? Neutral you can't be. As a Christian, every one of us here, we decide whether or not we're going to be like Jesus. I can't do for you, and you can't do for me. We decide for ourselves, gang. Any individual that's here today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, I can't get saved for you. You've got to make that decision yourself. But you will make it. There's no half in, half out, three quarters in, one quarter out. There's no such thing as that. You will make some disposition about Jesus. And especially now. Especially now. Because you have heard. That Sunday that I went to the Little Burgo Baptist Church and I heard the gospel for the first time. And when the preacher said amen, what did I say? Goodbye. I was going to give an account for what I heard that day. I would never be able to stand before God and to say, nobody ever told me that Jesus is the way. I'll never be able to stand before God and say, I did not hear. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You see, being a member of some church or, some lodge or some organization will not answer that question. It's not a matter of membership, beloved. It's a matter of relationship. It is not, well, I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Rosemont. You don't go to heaven because you're a member of any church. You go to heaven because you have a relationship with God's Son, Jesus Christ. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And if He died for us, well then, if we recognize that we have sinned, and the Bible tells us that, one thing folks did not have to tell Ed Johnson was that he was a sinner. I understood that lying was wrong. I understood disobedience was wrong. And I could go on and on and on and on. No, it is a relationship. The Bible says, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And we will give an account. Because neutral, you cannot be. Very basic, very simple when you get right down to it. You either accept Him and settle that issue of salvation, or you reject Him. We all come to that place. And you know, the thing that really I never knew at that time in my own life, but I know now, was a verse of scripture in the Bible that says, "My spirit will not always strive with man." And you know, when I stop and think about that, how after I had heard the gospel that night and went several weeks prior to the time I accepted Christ, when I come to my Bible and I read that passage of scripture in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 3, "My spirit will not always strive with man." You know, I could have missed heaven because of my indecision. That night, because of that indecision, I could have missed it. But every one of us in this building this morning, every single one of us, will make a decision as to what place Jesus will play in our life. It's either going to be like Him and to know Him and to love Him and to obey Him, or to go our own way. Just that simple. Because neutral we can't be. You're either or. And when we sing our hymn of invitation in just a moment, 273 in your hymn books, because that song is in your hymn book. I looked at it this morning. Jesus is standing at your heart's door. Standing and knocking, He's knocked before. Now, your songbook has some different words. But the Word of God is very clear that if this nation of ours is going to be a nation that knows Jesus and wants Jesus, is going to have to come back to Jesus. Because the nation we are living in today, people, does not know the Jesus like it once used to know Him. It's just that simple. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted Him, young man, young lady, old man, old lady, it doesn't matter who, my prayer is today will be the day that you say yes to Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you're saved, member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church, people, you need to get a hold of your theme for this preaching conference. Because there's churches all over this nation that needs that theme. Believe me when I say it. Believe me. Perhaps you've been saved, you've not been baptized. Perhaps you are saved and baptized, you're not a member of a church, or you're a member of a church some distance away. Would to God that we had more churches like Blessed Hope Baptist Church, to where you could say, here's a church where God's people need to gather together to do something for our country. Would to God we had more. But what God has given you all here, don't forget there's responsibility with it. There's responsibility, because you can lose what you have very easily. Not too long ago, I was in a church preaching a conference that today is no longer the church it used to be. no longer. Sad, sad story. Why? The people, they took for granted what they had. And there's no guarantee. Neutral, you cannot be. You are going to be what you're going to be, and you continue to be what made you what you are. If Blessed Hope Baptist Church, Pastor Jerry, is going to continue to see what you have seen in your history, you're going to keep doing what you've been doing. That's the bottom line. It doesn't stop. The buses keep running. The soul winning keeps going. The visitation keeps going. It doesn't stop. There's churches today, debt-free, beautiful facilities, property into the millions, and they're dying. Their services used to be what your service was this morning during the greeting of the visitors. People up and down the aisle shaking hands, hardly moving, couldn't move. Today, you could shoot a shotgun through it and not hit anybody. What happened? God died? No. God didn't die. They died. They died. They stopped doing what they had been doing that made them what they were. And the way you keep being what you are is to keep doing what made you what you are. It doesn't stop. It all comes back, four words: to be like Jesus, to be like Him.